I pray that what I share with you this morning will be true to God's word and guided by his Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you, everybody, for your joining in with the spirit of that second hymn. There was some quite flair being shown. I think there was some Salvation Army influence partway down. I won't name any names, Vera. But Palm Sunday is the day we remember that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But it wasn't as people expected. People had heard about all Jesus was doing. Some people had seen it. And here was this expectant crowd, many of them now accepting. Here was the Messiah. He's coming into Jerusalem and he's going to save us, expecting some great king. So here's this procession. And my understanding is even the palm branches were a symbol of royalty, used a couple of centuries earlier when the Maccabean, all that happened. So here was a real statement being made by the people. Here is our true king. And he turns up on the back of a colt. Not what people would expect. But yet they still responded joyfully, because he repeatedly said, I'm not what the world expects. So maybe an initial, oh, not quite what we had in mind, but we're still excited about this, so we're still celebrating. I guess strewing the road with the palm branches and the cloaks was a 2,000 year ago equivalent of a red carpet, maybe. So, you know, covering the ground, you know, we honour you. And the palm branches, Charlie's very helpfully had a picture of one in Partnership News, so you've got an idea what the palm branches might look like. Though that one's not from the Holy Land, that one's from Spain. Also in Partnership News, he's very helpfully put a picture of the image they'd have seen as they were walking into Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, though you might need a magnifying glass to make it out. You can just see the city walls underlined by the bar of the window, and behind the cross is the temple. It wouldn't have looked like that in Jesus' days, but it was just there. That is where it was. That's what he saw as him and all these people with him were entering Jerusalem. Palm Sunday is the beginning of a week that is quite a journey. For a lot of people who only attend church on Sundays, they go straight from the joy of Palm Sunday to the joy of Easter, which is great. But they miss out so much of what's in between. On Thursday, those of you who are able to join us for the Maundy-Thursday meal will be celebrating something very similar to that the disciples celebrated. A very traditional Passover liturgy and meal. It was integral. Communion within a meal, almost. And as we know, that's where the constitution of our communion as we celebrate it today comes from. When Jesus broke the bread and said, this is my body. When he poured the wine and said, this is my blood. Even then, they didn't quite get it. That night in the garden, he wept. Jesus wept. There's those psalms, you know, if it be your will, take this from me. I don't want this to happen to me. Yet I know it's your will. I hand myself over to you. And then in Philippians, we hear we should have the attitude, the same of that of Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. When you think of all that unfolds in the week ahead, to have the attitude of Christ is quite a challenge. And when we get to Good Friday and there's another crowd, it's a very different atmosphere. And we can imagine that some of those people were the same. Some of the same people who shouted Hosanna on Palm Sunday may have been people shouting Crucify on Good Friday. Humanity is fickle. We expect one thing, get something else, and we can turn our colours and our allegiance very quickly. You can see it with elections. I remember the streets of London being lined with joyful people when the Labour Party were elected. I'd never seen anything like it. It was all over the news. It almost looked like something like this. People were so grateful to have a change, but yet they didn't provide what we wanted, and we soon turned back to complaining. We are British, after all. It's what we do, isn't it? And there's, you know, other situations where similar things happen. How quickly we change. But that doesn't belie the fact that it all had to happen. Good Friday and Easter Sunday were the reason Jesus came. But the people of Israel, a lot of those Jewish people in that crowd, and some others that had been swept up with all the excitement, may literally have thought, Jesus is coming to save us, the people of God, from oppression. After all, the city of Jerusalem at this time is occupied by Rome, an aggressive alien force. Jesus is coming to save us. If you were living like that, wouldn't you think salvation was literally being rescued from oppression? But they were looking at a much smaller picture. Jesus came not just to save the people of Israel at that time, but he came to save everybody. Everybody of all time. Because of what Jesus did and all that unfolded in the week ahead, everybody who turns to him is forgiven. So what he did for us is as true as what he did for them. Sometimes in our churches, we look at a much smaller picture of what we want and what almost dictating what God should be doing for us here, when actually God has a huge spreadsheet. He has the whole world. There is still the church in persecution. There are still people dying in his name. There are people all over the globe celebrating this week. Who are we that God loves us? But yet he does. He made every single one of us. He wants us to be the good person he knows we can be. And I'm sometimes overwhelmed by the love he demonstrates, continues to demonstrate, by taking note of me, of each one of us as an individual. He loves us. And he wants better for us. And the time of Easter and Holy Week is a time that, although it's very busy for some of us, we can take stock and remember that it happened for us. Amen.
Amen.